Tonight we're going to take a break from Ecclesiastes. Did I throw you for a loop there? And it's like we talked about a time or two before. Ecclesiastes sometimes can be so because we know the difference, but we're still reading the words of this wise man, and it seems like everything he's saying is so depressing. I just feel like it's a deviation sometimes for us to get back to something to pump us up. And so tonight we are going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2. What's that? Nope. I'm not even sure what was in the bulletin. Okay, well, we'll get there. We will eventually get to Exodus 19, but we're going to start here and maybe end up back here. I'm not real sure. We'll see where this goes. Let's ask a blessing on God's Word. Father, we just come now, and as we do open your Word, Lord, we know that you will speak to us if we desire. Lord, you promise if we'll seek you with all of our heart, Lord, that you will be found by us. And Lord, the reason we don't find you is because we don't seek properly. So tonight, Lord, we want to get our hearts in line with you and see what it is you have for us, what you call us to be, what you've blessed us with, the things that you set before us. And so, Lord, tonight we open your Word, and we pray that your Spirit would move in such a way that it would touch each of us the way you desire. In your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to back up, and I'm going to start in verse 4. That's not really where my focus is at, but 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 4, it says, "Coming to him to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scriptures." Excuse me. "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected, he has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." We know that it's talking about Jesus being that cornerstone and how he was precious, and we are living stones. We are being built up. It's a process, and let me tell you, for me, it seems like it's a long process that God is still working on us. But we are that priesthood, and there are those that are going to accept the fact that he was the chief cornerstone and he was precious, and everyone that believes on him will never be put to shame. And there are those that rejected him, and we know that's talking about the Jews who rejected him as the Messiah, and he became a stumbling block to them. And they stumble being disobedient. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. Now we can turn back to Exodus. If you want to turn to Exodus. Exodus chapter 19. Keep your finger in 1 Peter because we'll probably get back there. In 19, we're going to start in verse 3. This is the children of Israel, and they're going up to the mountain, to Mount Sinai. And God, we know in chapter 20, God's going to give them we know this because we've read the book, but they did not know this. And God is giving them the Ten Commandments, going to give the Ten Commandments in chapter 20. But here, he says to Moses what he wants them to do. And this is kind of like the Great Commission of the Old Testament, this passage. Excuse me. We know the Great Commission in the New Testament, what we're called to do. here, this is what some scholars call the Great Commission of the Old Testament. So let's start in verse 3. It says, "And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which I shall speak to the children of Israel." And so this is basically a kind of a parallel passage to what was written to, or what was spoke to the children of Israel that God spoke to Moses. You're going to be that special treasure, that kingdom of priests, that holy nation. Well, we know in the New Testament, he says it's a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. He's telling them, this is the opportunity you have before you. He says that, remember what I did to the Egyptians. All of these people, this is probably about 3 months after they had been brought out of Egypt is when this takes place. So they had just gotten out of Egypt. This was not like it was generations past or even years past. It's the third month after they had came out of the land of Egypt. So this was fresh on their mind. And so the things that he says, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians. Okay, he's going to tell them everything that we're going to get into. And he says, before I do, I want you to stop and think about what I just did for you. And that's going to affect how you receive what I'm about to tell you. So my comment tonight, or my thought tonight, is I want you to stop and think about what God has just done for you. Not what He did for you back when I was 21 years old and He saved me. Yes, that's part of it, and that's part of the process. But what has He done for you lately? And that sounds kind of bad. I understand if you take that wrong. It's like you're saying, well, what has God really done for me lately? That's not what it's talking about. It's like, what has God done that you've seen? Because He's done so much, it's just we don't see it. And I think, like He's telling them, remember how you were brought out of Egypt. Remember what God has done for you. Go back to that point when you accepted Him as your Savior. And they were brought out of Egypt. They were brought out of slavery. I was brought out of sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. I was freed from that. So I have seen what God has done for me. How faithful God has been to me from the day that I accepted Him to today. I see how faithful He's been. That should affect how I receive what comes next. Too many times we may walk through these doors and we come here, or we sit down and we open up the Word and we want to read our 30 minutes of a day or whatever it is, and it's something we should do. We should love it. We should look forward to it. But so many times we just sit down, open it up, and I think if we stop and remember what He's just done for us, what He's done for us will change the way we read, the way we receive what He wants us to do. So that's the first thing He's telling them. You've seen what I did with the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings. Now in the Old Testament, anytime that we think of an eagle, it was that idea of power. The speed of an eagle and just the power of an eagle. That's how God brought them out. He bore them on eagle's wings with power. So many times when we think about what God has done for us, do you realize the power behind it? Think about the power that He has, the power of, of God Almighty, that's what He used to get you to where you are. So many times we look at it like, I'm sure Michelle today, and I saw Donna's helping herd those kids downstairs. And sometimes we feel like that's what God has to do to us, just to kind of herd us to where He wants us to go. But He did it with power. He has done, and He does it with loving and graceful hands sometimes, and other times He does it with a two before, right there, to get me to pay attention. But the power that God does those things, even though they may seem subtle, even though they may seem like He's just corralling and hurting us, He did that out of power, out of love. That's what He did. So He's telling these people, remember, look back, you've seen what I did to the Egyptians. I took care of all those issues behind you. God has taken care of those issues behind you. Too many times, you and I both think, well, you know, here in Stockton, there are a lot of people that know how I grew up. Those things that are behind me can still hinder me. There were people here in this group that could look back and think, man, I can remember 3 months ago I was making bricks with no straw. And they later want to go back. But at this point, He's saying, remember what I did to the Egyptians. I took care of your past. That's what I've done for you. With my power, I brought you to where you are. That's what we need to get to. We need to understand that God has taken care of our past, and through His power, He's brought us to where we are. He goes on and He says, I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Here's the key. He did not bring them out of Egypt. We know, we can read several times in the passage right before they were brought out of Egypt, release my people so that they can come and worship me on this mountain. It wasn't just to get them out of Egypt. It wasn't just to free them. It was, like we said this morning, for His purpose. He brought them to Himself. So why do I think that God has freed me from sin so that I can have my rights as a Christian? Dr. Dutille spoke at a men's banquet over at First Baptist earlier this year that I was able to go to, blessed to go to, and he made a comment. He said, I've told my daughters numerous times there is no rights in Christianity because you gave that all up. People say, well, you've got rights as an American citizen. Yes, we do, because of the Constitution. We have rights. But as a Christian, I have no rights. Because I surrendered my life to Christ, and so therefore all of my rights I give up to Him. We think because we are Christians and we live in a what people want to call a Christian nation, we have rights as Christians. No, we surrendered that up to God. He has brought us to Himself. He didn't save you for yourself. He saved you to bring Himself glory and honor. Too many times we think Christianity is about us. And it's not. It's about Jesus. That's what we've got to get back to. We understand. He's telling them, you've seen what I did to the Egyptians. You've seen what I did to your past. You've seen the power that I brought you up out of Egypt. Even in this first short 3 months, there had to have been so much that they had seen the power of God. And He says, I brought you to myself. I've done everything. I've got rid of your past and I've used my power to bring you to me. That's what He's done for us. He's taken care of our past. He walks with us in His power through the Holy Spirit, and He's done it so that He brings us to Him. We can't miss that it's about we're supposed to. He did it to bring us to Himself. That's what He did for them. That's what He does for us. Now, therefore, Man, we hate these words, those English words. Like, okay, according to that, therefore, now, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then. That's two of those words that I remember my English teacher saying always go together. If, then. I don't know what that's called. If there's an English teacher out here, you probably tell us. Okay. But I knew somebody would know, but I knew I didn't, because I was never taught that in fifth grade. So, but it's a if and a then. If you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you will be all of this to me. And he's going to give us a list. But let's look at that if. Obey my voice and keep my covenant. Well, the covenant was the Abrahamic covenant that had been passed to them, that had been given to them. That was an understanding that they had. It had been passed to them, that covenant that they had been given. And so they have to obey that covenant. If you obey that covenant, then all of this will be there. But not just obeying that covenant that's been passed down, but also, he says, obey my voice. Well, I can obey what he's passed down, or try. I don't. We don't very well. But how do we obey his voice? You have to listen. God promises to speak to us. And yes, that's through his word. Spending time with him. Prayer. Praise. Listening to music. Listening to other people. God speaks to us in many ways. We have to be willing to obey that covenant between us and Jesus Christ. The blood of the covenant. And obey his voice. His voices speak to us. The covenant, that's for all of us. And yes, it's personal, but it's for all of us. But that voice is personal. That's what that does. That's what that says. Obey my covenant, keep my covenant, but obey my voice. The covenant was for everybody, but my voice is personal. Do you understand what I'm saying? Too many times we just throw it all out there. Well, I just don't hear God's voice. I'm a husband. My wife can say, he doesn't hear my voice. Because she will stand behind me, 6 feet behind me, and if there's a ball game on, or if I'm listening to some kind of app or something. We talked about this in men's group tonight, so I'm confessing here as well. But it's one of those things that I don't hear her voice, even though she's plainly speaking to me, because I'm not tuned into her at that time, because of whatever distraction is there. And it's the same thing that we do with God. He's speaking to us, but we're not tuned into him, and so we don't hear him. And just so you know, Stacy, I need to talk to you later, because he said some things that we need to pass on to you. But that's where we need to be. That's what he's telling them. He said, this is what I've done for you, and this is my power. And if you will obey and keep my command, my covenant, and obey my voice, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. God created all people, but he chose those children to be his special people. If you'll obey, you'll be that special treasure to me above all people. Man, think about the privilege they had. You are a special people to God. I brought you out to myself. You're a special treasure to me above all the other people that I created. For all the earth is mine. I've got everybody. But you're special. That's what he's telling them. If you obey. He goes on to say, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests. Man, they were not just going to be special people to God, but they were going to be able to be a kingdom of priests. That priest was that one that would intercede to God for others. You're going to represent me to the whole earth. Your nation, this nation he's talking to, these children here that he's talking to, you're going to be my representation to the rest of the nations that are out there if you obey me. And you shall be a holy nation. You are going to be set apart for me to do my will. Man, they had such an opportunity. The children of Israel, and he's telling them, think about what I've done for you, and all you've got to do is obey me, and you are going to be this special treasure, this kingdom of priests and this holy nation. Fast forward. Peter, he says in verse 9, he's talking to Christians now. He's relating this to us as Christians. He's not necessarily talking to all Christians here, but he's talking to these people that have not rejected. That first group, those that have rejected Jesus, he's become a stumbling block because of being disobedient to the word to which they were appointed. But you who believe, are a chosen generation. Same privilege they had. They were a chosen people out of all the people on the earth. They were a special chosen people to God. They were a chosen race. We, as Christians, are a chosen people. Set up. We'll get to the set apart, but we are people that God has blessed with salvation. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You are a representation to the rest of the world. Now, it's easy for us sometimes to say, as a group of Christians, or as all Christians, the body of Christ, we are a representation to the rest of the world. We are a priesthood to the rest of the world. And yes, that's true, but you individually are a representation of God to the people you work with. You are the go-between, because they do not know Him. The gospel is veiled to those that are perishing. They don't understand. They're still in darkness. They're still under the power of Satan. And you are that priesthood, that representation that can go to God on their behalf and go from God to them. That's the privilege that we have. We are that chosen generation. We are that royal priesthood, and you are that holy nation. You have been set apart by God for His purposes. Those same privileges, those same blessings that He gave the children of Israel, the same thing He gave them, a special treasure, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. He chose them out of all of the nations and was willing to bless them through their obedience. Now, that obedience doesn't do it for us. That it's not a works thing, but it's a way to for us to enjoy the promise that He has given us. So don't get me wrong. It's not if I obey, then I get all this. That's not what it's saying. If we believe, because we can't take it out of context, if we believe, then You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special people. That's added different. This parallel verse from the Old Testament, it has three: special treasure, kingdom of priests, holy nation. In Peter, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. Better translated, I think, his possession. And being his possession, that special, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are all of those things. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are that special person, that special people, so that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And it says, who were once were not a people. There was a time when you weren't his until you accepted him. But now you are the people of God. If you're the people of God, if I'm the people of God, these blessings are mine. These privileges are mine through the blood of Jesus. I'm no longer in darkness. He's called me out of that into his marvelous light. That now I'm his people, one of the people of God, who had not, at one point when I was not his people, I had not obtained mercy. But now I have obtained mercy. So tonight, as we look at this, we see these things, and we see how when he told Moses, tell the people to remember. It's not been that long ago. Now, for most of us in this room, it's been over 3 months since we accepted Christ. They were delivered just 3 months before from Egypt. Remember what I did to those Egyptians. Think back, if you can. And I'm not meaning anything old here. I'm just saying, think back to the attitude you had right after you had accepted Christ. Do we have that same enthusiastic, energetic, evangelistic attitude now? We generally don't. Man, this is 3 months after that. After that delivery, remember that. And remember that that same power that brought them out of Egypt, man, all 10 of those plagues, you know, the blessings, the things in the wilderness that they were able to receive at that point, just within 3 months, the power of God that entails. And we can sit here, and I know we've talked about it before in smaller groups, about how could you sit there and think of all the things that God had done, that they saw God do, how could you then turn your back on him? If you've seen that power of God, I mean, that 10th plague, if that didn't do it for you, to see the power of the hand of God, to lead them out, and then to see the miracles that took place for that first 3 months in the wilderness, and to literally see how God had worked in their lives. And then God says, well, if you'll obey me, why would you not? But we can't ask that question. We don't have the right to ask that question, because God delivered us. He paid a debt that we couldn't owe. They couldn't get out of Egypt, so God took care of that. You and I couldn't get out from underneath our sins, so God took care of that. God works daily in and around our lives. And if we see it, if we will open our eyes, if we'll be attentive to what he's doing, how could we ever be told or ask, if you will obey me? Why would anybody ever ask me that? Of all the things I've seen God do in my life, why would I ever be disobedient? But we are. Because we lose sight of what God has done. Because I take my focus off of the Egypt, off of the wilderness, off of all the miracles, and I focus on the dirt path that I'm on. So I begin to want to go my way. What we have to do is keep our focus. Tuesday, the election's coming. Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, sometime they'll have a result. And man, who knows what this country is going to go into at that point? I don't know. But I know you and I need to focus on what God has done for us. Because that's what's going to get us through. Now, what God chooses to do Tuesday or allows to happen Tuesday, that's up to him because he's God and I'm not. I'm going to do everything I can because of what he's called me to do, what he's called you to do. But we understand that sometimes God has to send Babylonians to his people because they are not a faithful nation. I'm not saying Babylonians are coming Tuesday. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is sometimes God has to do things to get our attention because we take our attention off of him and off of what he has done for us, the power that he has. We take our eyes off of him, but we've received mercy. We've become his people. We should be proclaiming the praises of him. Because we're a special people, we're a holy nation, we're a royal priesthood, we're a chosen generation because of our decision to follow Christ and to surrender our heart to him. By faith, we have been given that grace. And this all goes from there. We need to make sure we don't lose our focus no matter what. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word and I thank you for the blessings. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see the love and the power that you have for us, that we would be everything you desire us to be. Lord, may we always, always remember the blood of Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen.